Parsha Zinu, Shabbat Shuvah coming up. Learners is a chud for Klal have a better year coming forward, going forward. This was what I'm going to say here is basically based on Zohar Atkins' shiur for Parsha Bet Hana. I talked about Zohar Atkins before. He's a one of these young up-and-coming brilliant guys, has a PhD in philosophy or doctor of philosophy from Oxford. He's got rabbinical semicha from JTS. And he's got a weekly parasha shiur that he always goes for a home run in the metaphor. So he probably, yeah, I mean, he's probably got a batting average, in my opinion, of about 250. Okay, which is not bad for going for a home run, but this was a home run.
Is it in writing or is it
Yes, this is the link over here.
where?
So I started out Zorak and Moses versus Socrates on the Value of Life, Substack.
Okay, could you send me the
You get the email? You got the emails, right? So you can
No.
click on this. You answer my emails about every
Oh,
week.
your email. Yes, I get
Right.
your email.
So click on the link there to this and you can get the link to
Okay.
the first line.
Okay.
Okay. Look at the email list. Link to the notes. So this week's parsha ends with Hashem's final words to Moshe. Right, verse one, Moshe, and Hashem told Moshe on that very day, and he said, Azeh, come up to this mountain of Harim, Har Nevo, mountain of Nevo, Asher beres Moab, Asher pnei Yericho, that's in Moab, facing Yericho, and you'll see the land that I am giving to Bnei Israel. Umut Bahar, and you will die on this mountain. Asher atah olasham, you're going up. You'll be gathered into your people. Just like your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor. How many months ago? This is Adar, and Aaron died. Elul, if I'm not mistaken, this month.
I'm
Al
here.
Shem
I'm just getting a tissue.
Okay. Al
Yeah.
Shem Malti Maltembi B'tok B'nei Israel. Since you betray me and among B'nei Israel, B'mei Mirvat Kodesh Mirvat Zin, at the waters of Mirvat Kodesh. Al Shem Lo Kiddush Shem Motzi B'tok B'nei Israel, because you do not sanctify me among B'nei Israel, and that's the story of Mei Mirvat. Ki Minegid Teret Aretz, because you will see the land from across. Tavo, and you will not go there. Yeah, and you will not go into the land that I give that I'm giving to Bnei Israel. And that's the last time Hashem talks to Moshe.
Okay.
The next parsha is what the bracha is, the bracha he gives to them, and then there's simply the narrative that he goes up the mountain. And the contrast is that Atkins makes is with another famous death scene. This is Moses' final day of death. The other one is the death of Socrates. Does that look familiar? Have you seen this poem? Have you seen this painting before?
Yes, I
Same.
think so.
Okay, there's Socrates, which is an accurate illustration to the Plato wrote a trilogy about the death of Socrates, in which Socrates is just this absolutely perfect person. It's pretty much fiction, but really knows what Socrates was like. But here he is, he's going to take the drug of hemlock with all of his students gathered around him, weeping. So here is the description of Socrates pleading to the court as he's being tried for heresy and corrupting the youth. So this is Socrates. But setting aside the question of his honor, there seems to be something wrong in petitioning a judge and thus procuring an acquittal instead of informing and convincing him. Okay, he's saying he's not going to beg. He is going to try to convince the judges that he's right. For his duty, the judge's duty, is not to make a present of justice, but to give judgment. And he has sworn that he will judge according to the laws, not according to his own good pleasure. Neither he nor we should get into the habit of perjuring ourselves. There can be no piety in that. Do not then require me to do what I consider dishonorable and pious and wrong. And to you and to God I commit my cause, to be determined by you as is best for you and me. That's his goal. He's going to try to convince you that he's right. No begging. And then, if you put me to death, let me reflect in another way. I want you to see there's great reason to hope that death is a good. One of two things. Okay, I'm not afraid of dying, see what he says. So either death is a state of nothingness and utter unconsciousness, or as men say, there's a change in migration of the soul from this world to another. Now, if you suppose that there is no consciousness, I say that to die is gain. For eternity is then only a single night. Nothing bad happens. You get nothing. For death is the journey to another place. And there, as men say, all the dead are. What good, O friends and judges, can be greater than this? That's the old joke about it doesn't matter whether you go to heaven or hell. If you're in heaven, everything's perfect. If you're hell, you'll be hanging out with your friends the whole time. And that's his argument, right?
I never heard. That's good.
It's like, I'm going to be there with everyone there. If indeed when the pilgrim rises in the world below, he is delivered from the professor of justice in this world and finds the true judges who are said to give judgment there. Above all, I should be able to continue my search for true and false knowledge in this world, also in that I find who is wise and who pretends to be wise and who is not. Right? Okay, if I die. And that's Plato's Apologia, which is a great word. Obviously, same root as apology, but means exactly the opposite.
I know.
Oh, yeah. So you know what apology.
No. I didn't know. I thought, what an odd word. Because he's not apologizing.
Right. Apology comes from the Latin apologia, but apology in modern English means to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. What can I do to make it better? And apologia literally is a defense. It's, I am right. Here's how I justify my own existence. Socrates is not apologizing. He is saying, I am right.
How do we know that's what it means?
Because that's what apology also used to mean. So when you have things that are described as an apology, when read Plato's title is Apologia, and you read it,
but
he has
maybe
no point
he's being ironic.
I think that's the general sense of it elsewhere. Like there's you can talk about having an apologia pro me vita. It's a Latin term. You translate as apology for my life. It's, I'm sorry for what I did. It's literally that expression means a description of why I lived my life the way I did, and that kind of literary idea.
Well, the etymology, because the A looks like it's a negative, A.
No, it's from apo, meaning going from logia words.
Oh.
I mean, words that coming out of words.
Oh.
Great. So both it, but both of them are convicted to die. So you're contrasting Socrates and Moshe. Both of them are convicted to die, one in the Athenian court, one by Kosh Baruch Hu. And the contrast is how they approach their offenses, right? That was Socrates. Moshe says, and I begged Hashem at that time. Oh God, you have begun to show me, your servant, your greatness, your power. I share me attribute Kelbash Mayamus. I share me Kelbash Mayam of Aris, who has a power on heavens and earth, you could do your great deeds. Ebrana, please let me pass. Let me see this good land, Ashebra Verdin, that's on the other across the Jordan. Haratova Zeb, Halvanon, let me see this beautiful mountain all the way to Lebanon. But no pagers. And Hashem was angry with me because of you, and didn't listen to me. And God told me, Ravla, enough. Don't talk to me anymore about this. And he starts with the Echanan, which is not an argument of defense. Rashi points out, it's asking for a gift, for grace. Please, I have nothing to offer you, but please. Even though a tzaddik could try to make a defense, point out that I am a good person, I am good, and this was justified. You know, all they ask for from God is a gift. Please let me go across. And the Mechilta, the Midrash, expands on this. It says, Rablach. Right? Hashem says, Moshe, it's enough. Enough. You have enough. And the Midrash says, Amarlo, Dayecha, Olam Haba. Meaning, Rablach means you're going to be rewarded in Olam Haba. Why do you keep complaining?
Whoa.
You're 120. You've got a reward coming. But Dayan who omed Moakesh called Tobakashot. And Moshe still kept nudging and kept asking, kept begging. Moshe Hashem, okay, so I can't go in as the leader of the people, the king. You will not bring these people in, okay, Kamela. Let me come as a civilian. We'll give Yeshua the leadership. I'll just stay in the back of the line. Amar ein melech nichnas ke'ed, you can't. You couldn't go in there. There's a whole message about Moshe being upset when he sees Yeshua. So Moshe kept asking all these things. Amar Moshe Riboni. Well, you told me I can't go as a king, as a leader, or as an ordinary person. Let me go in one of the tunnels, one of the caves that is under, I think this is Philippi Caesarea, that's named in near Banias, the city in Banias. Let me go into a cave that's in there. I'm not going to go in the land. This will be underground. Amar lo, no, so Shama lo tavo. We just quote that you will not go in there. Moshe is still begging. Amar Moshe l'fam. Okay, you won't let me go in while I'm alive, whether as a leader, whether as an ordinary citizen. You won't let me go in underground, just get into one of the caves so I can see it was actually within the borders of Eretz Israel. I can't do that. Let my bones enter. Let me be
Oh.
buried in Eretz Israel. Amar lo, Hashem says, no, ki lo tavor, space there, ki lo tavor et yedein hazeh. You will not cross it. No way. None of that. And the difference is that Socrates asked for justice. Socrates says it's inappropriate for me to ask for mercy. I would be untrue to myself if I wasn't dedicated to justice. And Moshe asked for chen, et chanan l'Hashem. And this is Atkin's words. Socrates makes two related points that contrast what we read in this parsha. In a court of law, the motion of appeal rather than logical demonstration is wrong. That's Socrates' point. He feels that we should uphold justice and we're going to make sure that judges know what justice is. And the other is death is to be accepted and even appreciated. The two points are related, and that Socrates has the ability to use emotional manipulation to acquit himself, but he would rather make his case using arguments, even if they're dismissed. Let the record show that what he really believed, not he was able to say to win. But Socrates is only able to be so principled because he doesn't see death as a downside event. Base case, death is a nothing burger, right? If you don't exist afterwards, it's over. Upside case, you get to hang out with your heroes in the afterlife. Socrates is only able to regard death as a net positive because he believes in principles like the soul is immortal and the body is a prison of the soul. If someone gives you a way to nobly exit from this world, take it. That's Socrates. Moses pleads with God. He doesn't argue that his faith is undeserved. He prays. That's exactly the kind of groveling that Socrates calls dishonorable. No matter, Moses wants to win. He wants to live another day. God is a judge, and Moses will try every trick in the book, like a good lawyer or a good sophist, to make the judge take his side. The Midrash powerfully imagines Moses seeking Talmudic loophole after loophole to obviate himself from his death sentence. The case continues to narrow, becoming what the sages call an ukimta, in a very specific, very millimeter. Italics. Ukimta, eliminate case until Moses asks, till you at least grant let my bones go into the land of Israel, but even this wish is not granted. And one of the key
That's
differences,
why we don't know where he is, so we can't take his bones in.
well, the reason is so we can't worship at it. Right? We're not turning it into a shrine.
Yeah, but also, so we can't take his
Yeah,
bones.
that's right. They stay outside. But the key difference is that Moshe knows that he can't argue his case, right? Socrates can argue with the judges in Athens, saying that you're wrong, I'm right. You can't do that. And we obviously have the great marvelous Midos machine. Ever still listen to the marvelous Midos machine? These kids,
What?
the marvelous Midos machine.
No.
There's a bunch of songs about good Midos, okay? But one of the songs is Hashem knows just what happened. There are no reason to deny that Hashem knows everything. You can't argue that you know better. There is no case to argue. As the saying says, when the facts are on your side, pound the facts. The law is on your side. You know that, right?
No.
You never heard of this? Didn't they teach you that in law school? I keep hearing
No.
this again. When the facts are on your side, pound the facts. Law is on your side, pound the law. When neither is on your side, pound the table. That's how you argue something crazy, right? And we, looking at, we're facing Hashem in judgment, right? We can't argue we know the facts better. We cannot argue they know the law better than Dayan Emet. We have no relationship to Emet, to truth. We don't have a way of thinking about absolute truth. This is I'm a postmodernist in that sense. We have no connection to absolute truth. Okay, this is Rav Dessler's Mikvah talking about truth. This is Havchanazu Shel Eino Milvado. We talk about that God, there's no one like God. What does that mean? Hu emet hamuchlatet, absolutit, that there is an absolute truth. There are things that are absolute truth. Aval hi nisteret mimena, but we have no idea what that is. Everything we say is God has, it's, well, not exactly. The only way you can say a statement that's absolutely true if you had a statement that included the entire universe, the history of the universe, all possible universes.
Or it's mathematical.
Even that, it's math is not consistent. Look up Gödel's theorem. That's one point, okay, if you want your mind blown. Or the Banach-Tarski paradox. I mean, that was this big disaster of the 1920s when they found that, the more logical positivist you got about math, the more math fell apart. In our minds, we can't possibly achieve that. Even a simple statement like 1 + 1 = 2 is not an absolute statement, right?
What's the one?
What's 1 puddle + 1 puddle? What's blue plus blue? It's one of those things that, yes, it's true for things for which it's true, which is not really a statement about truth. There's always exceptions. There's no way to make a single statement that encompasses truth. Close your cane, so that can close and galev, we don't understand absolute truth. Relativit, labriya. All of understanding is relative. It's within our limited circles, only within the things that we can experience. En rak emet betoch legabei bria, it's the truth within creation, within our little piece of creation. Shigam, according to our, as I would put it, primitive monkey brains. En lenu ela emet yechasi bilvad. All we have is relative truth, sort of truth. Kol echad echad u'fi madrigato masavo. Everyone, their own place, their own situation. So we can't argue with God. We can't argue the facts. So this is the way Eckes puts it. When a person dies, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmet, blessed is the true judge. Moses cannot claim to be a better judge than God. Socrates knows he's a better judge than his earthly judges. So Moses seeks not to convince God with truth, but to convince God with sentiment, appeal to God's mercy. Socrates knows the truth and goes contentedly to his grave. Moses knows that he does not have the truth, that's only for God, but nonetheless advocates for himself before accepting God's judgment. What's Moshe doing? Okay, Moshe asks Rechem because he doesn't want to die. Hashem says he's going to die, and it's not because he's afraid of death. He's under 20, he's lived a long life, but because there are still things he can do in this world. He doesn't want Olam Haba. You never want Olam Haba. Again, seeing Atkins. But Yeshua says that is too much for you. It is too much for you. When he said Hashem says Rav Lach, it means the world to come is enough for you, reported that Midrash. But Moses clearly thinks not. The world to come is not enough. Land of Israel is so amazing that it makes the world to come seem not enough. Land of Israel is so amazing that it makes immortality of the soul seem like a loss. He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. And that's true for us as well, right? We are standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sheyumei Teshuva. We
You
can't count
think
the
they
fact.
capitalize the L's in the land of Israel?
I can, but I am just quote,
Oh,
I
it's his.
am
Oh,
copying
you're not.
from
This
his
is
words.
him. Yeah,
This
this is
is
him.
directly a quote from the way he
Yeah,
put
yeah,
it. I
yeah.
think
I
it's
thought it
correct
was.
enough. It's
Yeah,
correct enough. I'm
I
not going
thought
to
it was
edit it.
gifted to you.
Yeah, that is a, it's got a little block quote in there. It's indented. It's got smaller.
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. They're saying that we're here in a certain tshuva. We're about to, but I'm going to say this, but we're facing Yom HaDin out here. Okay, faith for Hashem, and we're not in a position to pound the facts or pound the law. So we're asking for mercy. Hashem, you
We're
know the
pounding
truth.
our chests.
Right. Pounding our chest. Okay. Oh, I like that. We got to do that. Okay. So we're
Yeah, you got to put that
right. We
in.
are pounding the facts or pounding the law. We are pounding our chest. We'll take that. And of course, we're asking for mercy, right? That's Hanan
Right.
Hashem. That's very important of Hanan. Because we know that for all the mistakes that we made, and God, you know that. And we're guilty of whatever you've already know all the truth out there. You know what the appropriate response is. You know what the law is. But we are saying we have the potential to do better, right? There's still more things we can do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can ask for your chayin for, right? And that's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avot says. It's better. You never want to die, even though we talk about the joy of Olam Haba, it's wonderful. Yeah, I know that. But my point of existing is the things I do in Olam Hazeh, and I don't want to give that up. Hashem, let me keep going.
My point of existence is what?
It's for the things that I can do in Olam Hazeh.
Okay,
Nothing.
is it to do tshuva? That's what I could do. Tshuva, that's the
That is
big
one of
thing.
the things that I can do, right? The way it puts it. Yafesha achat b'tshuva u'masim tovim.
Oh,
Both of them.
ma'asim tovim, right.
Tshuva for what I know mistakes I made, and
Right,
you,
right.
Hashem, are granting me the ability to do tshuva, of which it is Kabbalah Latid is I'm going to do better, but the ma'asim coming
Right,
forward, that's
ma'asim
my,
tovim, right.
that is what I'm going to come. What he concludes it is that Moshe does not enter the promised land as God's judgment. Right? Hashem says no. But his prayer teaches us to long for it. We want to enter the promised land and to argue with God up to the point that God's judgment is cast. We should do whatever we can, even if that's only pleading, to be on the side of earth and life. We disagree with Socrates. Okay. You know, even if you're guilty and you admit that you're guilty, you just still want to stay alive and here because there's always ma'asim tovim and things to be done in the world here. And that's
This
built.
doesn't take into account that someone who's like in pain and wants death to come.
That does not trust this at all, right?
Yeah.
This is all right. And that's a separate question
Yeah.
about suffering and you know,
Right.
at what point do we say yes, death is it is time here? This is you are guilty
Yeah.
of a crime against God,
Yeah.
and your argument is you're right, but let me off because let me get another year out of this. I say because.
Yeah.
I can still do true ma'asim tovim. That's what we're asking. And I'm going to stop here.
Good, short, sweet. I mean, sweet.